the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The worst case is a meltdown.
Oh, that's disgusting. That's inappropriate.
All the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me, they're moms and they're... Partying, partying,
partying, partying. Why don't you tell those dumb asses a tune?
Oh, yeah! World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and, you know, we go places other talk shows wish they could. Our number, of course, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You know, we are doing a live video cast each and every night now with our HD Phil TV. It's a beautiful thing. It's probably, it's the best, I will say it now, it's the best picture of any radio show that's being video cast, and it's the best picture, I think, of any video cast anywhere, just live, doing a live video cast. But we do have, from time to time, these audio issues we used to have, don't we? But, okay, we'll see, because I'm looking, everything peeking into the red, and I don't want that distortion we used to get, and I'm blowing people out of there, if you'll pardon me. Phil, it's 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to the radio show that we call Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Let me just turn off my good old friend there. That's Jason Aldean. But we'd like you to join us as we march into the future, a future where we can all join hands and ensure the survival, the safety, and the flourishing of this country. And when you look at a place like, and our prayers and our thoughts to the people of Japan, when you look at what is happening in Northeast Japan and the guts and the stick-to-itiveness and the calm and just the perseverance of the Japanese people, it's a lesson for all of us. And I'm not saying that we as Americans are not capable of it, but let's just remember what it takes to survive. If you want to know, take a look at the Japanese people tonight. They got more problems. They're up to their rear ends, as we like to say, in alligators. One minute they have the tsunami, which of course is devastating enough. Then what happens? They've got a problem with a nuclear reactor. And then they also have the problem of they've got to find the search and rescue people and the equipment to find the people. And the tsunami has not subsided yet, and they're finding bodies. There could be people alive. They've got to get in there with the equipment and find the people alive. And all of a sudden now, guess what happens? We've got a meltdown. So they got to get over there and take care of that. And it isn't just one reactor. It's another reactor. They got to go over and take care of the other reactor. You know what I'm saying, bud?
Yeah, everything, one thing on top of another.
Just like our parents used to say. And yet they're taking care of it the best way they know how. They are very gracious with the offers of help from the international community, but they're not on their knees begging. They're asking, and even if they were begging, I wouldn't fault them. But it's an amazing thing. Forgive me for stopping down and talking about it, but I just felt like I needed to, because it's so, in my opinion, so impressive, and there's such an ancient and historic and important and pivotal country in the history of the world. The Japanese have oftentimes infuriated us, oftentimes perplexed us, oftentimes they have enchanted and drawn us near with the beautiful culture that they have. The Japanese wanted no part of the world at one point. Remember Commodore Perry? He sailed the American fleet right into Tokyo Bay. We wanted to trade with you, and the Japanese were like, okay, if you say so. And since that time, we've gone through our ups and our downs, and they're very good friends, and anything we can do. And Robert Greene joins us, Bob. I didn't mean to give a speech, you know?
Well, you know, Phil, I don't think there's anything you've said that anybody is going to begrudge you. I think as your sentiments are shared by people all over the world tonight, and to your sentiments, I add my own, Phil, and anything we can do. Within reason, we want to do here at Fraser Foods.
Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, by the way, joining us. The article that I saw today, Bob, and this may or may not play into the topic of Japan, but we are going to be talking a lot about Japan tonight. $1 million ain't what it used to be. More than 4 out of 10 American millionaires say they do not feel rich. Indeed, many would need to have at least $7.5 million in order to feel they were truly rich. I thought that was interesting because... You're a man who founded a grocery store chain that has been very successful over the years, and I wanted to talk to you tonight about wealth and how much money somebody needs to feel rich and secure.
Well, you know, Phil, it's an interesting conversation because you, in these times, in the economic times that we're living in, it's very difficult to wonder how much money you ultimately will need, not even just to be rich, but to be secure. And
I know that you're planning on being married. You were married once. Your kids are grown. Was $7.5 million enough for a single guy?
I certainly think it's enough to retire on, sure. But in terms of being wealthy, you never really know because there's so many different variables. If your money is tied up in stocks and bonds, if your money, like a lot of people that I know, is tied up in real estate, you don't feel too rich at the end of the day, especially after the times we've just gone through. I've got a lot of liquid money. I've got a lot of things that are fairly easily converted. Certificates of deposit. I do have stocks that I can sell. I have a fair amount of cash. But even still, and I'll tell you, Phil, that I'm probably shouldn't be saying this. I don't know whether my accountant would want me to. I probably have about $15 million that I could lay my hands on right now.
That's what you call liquid money.
To an extent, yeah. But I don't feel, in these economic times, like a wealthy man. And I think that that's probably what that article is referring to.
All right, so with the economy the way it is, you don't feel like a wealthy man necessarily because it could very well all go away in just the blink of an eye?
Well, I mean, look at the people that were invested heavily in the stock market, and we saw that precipitous 40% drop in the value of stocks back in 2009, were people that were highly invested in real estate, where we saw suddenly the floor come out of the real estate market. You can be rich. That's the whole nature of a stock market crash, or a stock market that suddenly loses value, and then the economy follows suit. You know, and you have a very scary situation. So you never really feel rich, I guess, unless you're Bill Gates kind of a guy.
All right, Robert Green with us here, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's talk about you, though. you don't feel rich, but you don't feel like you're necessarily on poor street.
Let me tell you what I do. It's important, and anybody that has money will tell you this, it's important to create an impression for your employees. It's important to create an impression of security for your employees. Your employees are your most important asset, Phil. If they don't feel secure, then they're not. I don't think it'll be giving you 100% on the floor in a supermarket or in the stockroom. And so I want them to feel secure. To that extent, I will show them that they are working for a company and they're working for an individual, myself and other members of our board, who are men and women that have made the grade. We have enough money and enough capital to keep the grocery store going, and it's a very simple process. You drive into work, and you park your car as close as you can to the front door of the supermarket, so your employees can see the kind of car you drive. In my case, I drive an SLS AMG coupe. That's a $200,000 Mercedes.
Wow!
And
boy, that's an impressive automobile.
It's an impressive automobile. The point is, I want my employees to see that, so they know that I can afford that, and I have enough capital personally that the value of the company is not in danger. I wear a suit generally to work, unless we are, you know, I'm pitching in stocking shelves on that day, and I'm generally wearing anywhere from a $4,500 to a $6,000 suit. I wear a fair amount of jewelry. I have cufflinks. I've got one lapis lazuli ring. I've got a couple of diamond rings that I wear, and I wear those prominently. I've got an expensive watch, and what I do is I show my employees these things so that they know they are working for a man who has resources, and if I have resources, the company has resources. It's unfortunate if you run into a person that works for you that isn't intelligent enough to see that.
All right, that's interesting. What does that mean? And our number, by the way, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So you're showing your employees the money that you have so they feel confident.
Well, that, That's exactly right. And you want them to know that they work for a man who has resources.
Yeah. All right. Now, you said it's unfortunate when you run into someone who doesn't see that.
Well, I'll give an example. I was in the break room one afternoon. It was not too long ago, about a month ago, and I was talking to a group of our checkers, and most of them are women, and I had on, as I said, I had on a pretty expensive, an Israeli silk suit. It's a beautiful suit that I actually got for about $2,000, Phil, but the suit's worth about, probably would be worth about $5,000 if it had an Italian name on it. I had on a fair amount of personal jewelry. And then I said to the ladies that I was driving, did you see my car? The SLS AMG Coupe. It's a $200,000 car. Well, Sandy is one of our checkers, and I won't give you her last name because we had to let her go. But I looked down at her. Everybody else was nodding and wanted to ask me questions, but I looked at this Sandy who was biting into a carrot stick and had a blank look on her face. And it did kind of bring the room down. The air came out of the room. I felt a little humiliated.
Why did you feel humiliated?
Well, when you say to a checker who's driving to work in a Volkswagen, I've got an SLS AMG coupe, and they bite into a carrot stick and look at you like that isn't anything they care about. It gets to you. And the other women that were there, I could see the look on their face. They sensed that I had been insulted.
Were the other women excited?
The other women were excited, but then they noticed that this one gal, this Sandy...
What I'm trying to get to here, Bob, you got a display of wealth that one woman did not react to properly, and that humiliated you.
Because the other employees saw what she did. The other employees are going to do what most employees should do, which is... That's very impressive, Mr. Green, or can we see it, or wow, you know, I've always wanted one, but she did it while she was biting into a carrot stick. This is just a simple act of having lunch, but the insolence and the disrespect of snapping a carrot stick after I just got done telling her I drive a Mercedes-Benz was a humiliating experience, and we had to let her go.
You fired this woman.
Yes, we did. Dad.
Okay, so this is the interesting part about what you're saying, and I'm not a business owner. I am a business owner, but I don't own anything as big as what you have, Bob. That you would let go, that you would fire in this economy, an individual who simply was not impressed with your car. You know.
No, in this economy, Phil, you got it backwards. In this economy, you should be impressed and thankful and grateful for a boss that has enough money where he can buy himself that car, and that you are willing to express that to him and say, that is an impressive automobile to have, Mr. Green, and I'm impressed that you have that, so that I can see, they know, that I'm secure and they're secure. But when you sit there as if you're looking at me, she looked at me like I was nothing. That's the thing that I think spoke to me.
And well, what did that mean to you? Maybe she was thinking of something else.
No, she was. I had her attention. What it meant to me was this: she was disappointed in me. I don't know how much better you're supposed to do than a $200,000 Mercedes, but this woman looked me up and down like I was some kid she went to a dance with in high school, and we had to let her go that afternoon.
I don't understand letting somebody like that go.
Because first of all, we have a morals clause. The morals clause that all of our employees have to follow is to be moral.
And I don't understand. How's that immoral?
The fact that
this woman looked you up and down and was not impressed with the car you had, and you fire her for cause?
For morals, because the morality of that, of insulting me, that's bad morals. All right,
hold on, Bob. Bob Green with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk about wealthy and what it is to be wealthy in America these days. And Robert Green said, you know, even if you got a lot of money, you still feel a little insecure. But the fact that he comes to work in, dressed nice, driving a nice car, and then talks to his employees about the money that he has because he feels that will make them feel more secure, he wound up firing a woman who was not impressed with his Mercedes. 877-876-PHIL. is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with Robert Greene in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. You know, wealth is a great thing, and creating wealth is even better. And in America, this great tradition we have of entrepreneurs who have created businesses, companies that that become global. Robert Greene joins us. He's the CEO of a major grocery chain in the Southwest and Southeast called Fraser Food. But we were talking here, Bob, because of this article, U.S. millionaires say $7 million is not enough. They don't feel rich. In order for you to feel rich, and you say feeling rich is important for you to do a better job.
That is absolutely right, Phil. Feeling wealthy is important for me to do a better job because I then feel confident. When I feel confident, the company is going to be more aggressive, and my employees are going to see that they have a leader, a corporate leader, who is moving very confidently from one day to the next. And showing them the material gain that I've had in my life from the, I say Italian suits, I do buy Israeli suits in a garment district downtown, Phil, and they're beautiful silk suits, but I do save money. I'm not an individual.
Do you fly first class?
I fly first class, and sometimes I charter.
Okay.
So, yes, I spend money, and I have a $200,000 car. When I told the young lady, this girl Sandy, and I don't want to give her full name because she has been let go, I have a $200,000 car. She morally, it was immoral for her to snap a carrot stick and stare at me like I was a disappointing blind date. And that's what she did.
And you know, a lot of this could be, could be psychological. You know what you're doing. How much of what the way this girl looked at you had anything to do with that? As I said, maybe she was thinking of something else.
Well, if she's thinking of something else, that's not good either, because I'm the CEO of the company is in the break room. I'm talking to my employees. And I think that to be thinking of something else is a big mistake when the president of your company, the chairman of the board of your company, the chief executive officer, is standing there staring at you while you're eating carrots.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We're taking phone calls for Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods. William in Cincinnati, listening on WQRT. Go ahead, William.
I can't speak for the employees of this Bob Greene, but I can speak for myself. I used to work at Target, and I mean, most of the jobs that people who have to work in these kind of situations take, they do it because they need the money. It's not fun. It's very dour work. And, I mean, if I was outside and I see my boss pull up in some great, Cadillac, dressed up like some kind of a pimp fob,
Feel the need to insult me? Why do you want to insult me? I don't dress as a pimp. Business suits.
The way you described your outfit, it seemed a little...
Is that like saying you dress like a drug addict? You want me to say that?
No, I don't dress like a drug addict.
Well,
I
dress like a pimp.
I showed up to work wearing the usual uniform.
Maybe
familiar
with how what a nice suit looks like.
The way you described like your outfit, it sounded, flamboyant.
I didn't describe it at all, sir. I said it was an Israeli suit. It was made of silk. If you know anything about suits, that's a good suit to own.
Okay, most of us aren't suit experts, but.
Speak for anybody other than yourself. You don't speak for anybody other than yourself.
Cashiers and baggers and people who stock shelves and people who work hard and they work long hours, and it's not fun.
They got a bad
spokesman. I'm sorry if we can't put on a good show.
They got you talking for
and,
them.
You know, react to your little your car and your whole look. And if we're not,
well,
if
you're angry,
just fall
that
down
you don't have what I got. You're angry. You don't have what I got. That's what you're
we're
angry
We're not
about.
Angry, but we're
and,
not enamored with
what is the we?
Your little show.
This guy's you got a multiple personality? You mean we.
I'm talking about people who work, employees, the employees
but
that you deal with that you're complaining
right,
about.
But you don't
you
speak
fire.
For them, sir, because
that
if you,
you
did,
fire.
They'd probably be in worse shape than they are right now. You know, and I don't know what this guy's talking about.
Well, he was trying to say the average guy as opposed to the wealthy guy, okay? We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What are these things?
What do you mean, what are these things? I was telling you a little bit about some of the items that I own. I have a pair of Edward Green Dover split-toe shoes. Those are $1,000 shoes. But how do you explain a pair of $1,000 shoes to a guy that like that last guy I talked to, who obviously doesn't operate in that universe.
Well, maybe he was a little bit intimidated by your wealth, but how do you know that you don't get that reaction from people?
Well, I don't like anybody that says, I'm speaking for all of the checkers out there. That's the kind of guy that probably thinks he speaks for everybody when he's on Twitter or when he goes to the YouTube or something. He doesn't speak for anyone. He speaks for himself and his imaginary friends.
All right, Bob, 877-876-PHIL.
I want to mention one more thing. I also own a Prada cell phone. That's a $780 cell phone. So I'm giving you an idea as to how much money I have so that people can understand that I am a man that makes money, and therefore I'm a man that is going to take care of my employees.
I understand. 877-876-PHIL. The number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Julie, listening on WIBW in Topeka. Go ahead, Julie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. This is the
yes,
first
ma'am.
Time I've ever called in, but I am so upset over this that I really felt the need to call. I think he is totally full of himself, and he's a snob. And
oh, no, ma'am. Oh, no, not at all, ma'am.
Yes, yes, because you work in that universe where you've got all this money, and most people aren't like that. Most people go to work, they
exactly.
do the best job they can do to get a paycheck. They're struggling
exactly.
to pay the bills, and they do not
I understand,
be impressed.
But
by,
I want my employees to know that I want my employees to know they're secure because
oh,
I have personal
secure
income.
Was the one, how secure was the one who got fired because she was eating her lunch on her lunch
right.
break and you interrupted her?
What about that,
how
Bob? It's a little disturbing.
Well, it's a good question, but let me say this. If I'm there to assure my employees that they are working for a man who can drop $1,000 on a pair of shoes, and she's eating a carrot stick and looking at me like I'm the most disappointing date she's ever been on. I mean, I felt a little humiliated as a man. You know?
Okay, that is your problem. That is not her problem. That is your problem that you are insecure because people do not pay you the proper homage because you are rich. Normal people are just struggling to pay the bills, put food on the table, get the roof over their heads, make sure their kids have what they need. What does your $1,000 pair of shoes do for her and her children? Your $200,000 car
what
do
what
to get her to and from work?
It assures her that I have enough money whereby the company is going to be solvent and she'll have a job. And I thought it was
okay.
a little ungrateful of her to look at me like I was her kid brother in a oversized pair of pants. You know, she sort of.
You know, Bob, you keep talking about how she looked at you like a blind date, like a kid brother. How much of this has to do with your male your male ego.
That's nothing to do with my male ego. It's me saying to her, I want you to feel secure, and her saying to me, you look like you've got about it, that you're under-endowed, you know? So, I would say...
Is that your fear? Is that your real fear right there? Is that it?
What's that?
That's your real fear, that people are going to look at you like you are under-endowed, like your money isn't enough.
My fear, there's no fear, ma'am. When I said to her, I've got a $200,000 car sitting outside and you're sucking on a carrot stick, and you could hear her snap the carrot stick and then look down at her lunch like, get lost, creep. I haven't had that feeling since grade school.
See, a lot of what you're saying here, and I think Julie, you're picking up on this, has to do with your ego.
No. Please don't play psychologist.
Well, it sounds that way to me. Like there's a masculine, like you're under-endowed. I don't know what that means.
Okay, you're the one who mentioned that, not us. You're the one who brought that up. Okay,
you are standing
there bragging to her about having a $200,000 car. She looks down at her plate to eat, and what's she eating? She's eating carrots. She's supposed to be impressed because you drive a $200,000 car and she's eating carrots for lunch?
Well, why don't you think that's impressive? Why, I mean, I'm simply trying to say to her, I have enough money, don't worry. If she wants to eat carrots, maybe she's on a diet. And to be honest with you, and I say this with great respect, she looks like she probably needed to go on a diet. She's a young Hispanic lady with a big, you know, big hips. And so... She's eating her carrots, and I'm driving my Mercedes, but don't you think that I don't get any security out of her carrots, not to make a joke. So she's looking at me as if I was born with a small one. And
all right, here we go again with this under-endowed thing. It's very disturbing. Julie, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. Thank you. Let's go over to, before we go to a call, what do you mean under-endowed?
I mean... The look you could get from a woman, you know what I mean, Mr. Hendry, and I don't want to turn this into a pornographic film.
Well, you brought it up countless times.
I'm simply saying that when I say to someone that I have a Prada cell phone and I drive a $200,000 automobile, I want them to say, thank God I work for a man who's got money, instead of snap, the carrot stick snap. She turns back toward she had a bowl, a Tupperware of something. I don't know what it was, but I got to tell you, it looked like the kind of thing we find in our refrigerator all the time in our break room that stinks the entire employee lounge up, something that looks like it's going to mold in 2 hours. And I there were so many things I wanted to say to her.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Teresa. Teresa in Pensacola, Florida, on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Teresa. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to another call. We have Claudette in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Claudette. Claudette in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, please. What's the problem here, guys? Let's move on to Alan in Bakersfield, California. Alan, go ahead.
Hi there. I got a comment for this gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Hello, you there? Hello. I got a comment for this gentleman. I'm a business owner, and I'm fairly well-to-do, and I'm probably pretty sure I could buy and sell you. I have about, I don't know, 200 employees.
Oh, you don't know that.
I
got stores all over the Southwest and Southeast. I got more than 200 employees.
I think the fact that you treat this girl the way you did, I'd be surprised if you have any employees tomorrow. As far as I'm concerned, you're a pompous ass.
Well, you may think that, but the fact is they have work,
sir, you
that probably
do
your
help.
Employees
you
don't
to
have.
To visit,
I pay them
you
money that
visit
probably
visit
you don't pay your employees. And
you
I have a certain amount of personal wealth that assures them a job. Now,
this girl was driving
Mercedes Benz, and you come up in your truck. I think I'd feel more secure working for a guy with a $200,000 Mercedes than
a girl was probably thinking about
truck.
The homework that she needed to do the night when she gets home. She probably wasn't thinking about your Mercedes. She was
She's
probably
a mother of three kids. What homework she has to do, I don't know. Yeah, see, that shows you what you know. She just got in school. She's a mom.
Look,
I
have
to go
employees.
Back to the drawing board with your
I have employees
company, whatever
as
it is.
Well.
All right.
You know, some of the problem is that you can't. Some of your problem is you can't listen. Okay, you can't listen.
I'm listening.
I have employees
what
as
kind
well.
Of business you got?
I would never
kind of
treat my employees. Never treat my employees the way that you've treated this girl. And I
and
think she needs
you're
to
not
go
making
straight
money.
To the labor board. And I think she needs to sue you. Is what she needs to do. Now that you put
well,
the record on
that's
now
a
that
good
you
point.
Opened up the record,
why can't she sue you?
Record.
What?
She needs to
sue me for
labor board and
she's
sue
gonna sue.
You.
You
say
you fired her because she was a morals clause?
Yes, it was a morals clause. It was immoral for her
no,
to look
you,
at me like
sir,
I got a can I talk
person.
To a man? Excuse me?
You are the immoral
me.
Person that you would do this
now,
to
what
this
did I do that
was
immoral?
Trying to make rent, pay his bills, and you let her go because she's not
immoral?
Impressed with your $200,000 Mercedes? Excuse me?
Because my $200,000 Mercedes is what is symbolizes that I got a lot of money, and she can keep
Who
her job.
Who cares how much money you got? You just
that
fired a girl
I've got,
that's trying
I've,
to make rent. You just
that
fired
means
a girl
that if I got a lot of money, she should appreciate that.
And you just put her on the street because she's not impressed with your $200,000 car. Sir, you need
you
help. You need to go straight.
You don't understand what I'm talking about because you're spending too much time. You've said that about a million times. You've got four guys.
That's right, and
that
you
work
can't
your fireworks stand.
He didn't say fireworks stand.
He's got a fireworks stand out in Piru, I thought.
No, he didn't. The gentleman, sir, you said you had 200 employees, right?
That's correct.
Do you mind telling me what kind of business you got?
Yeah, I'm a construction company, a real estate
construction
developer.
Contractor. He's got. You know.
All right, great. Good for him. I got 200 employees in one store.
I
own about 15 stores.
To me. All I'm saying is you put this girl on the street. She's trying
yes,
to pay her bills. She's trying to eat. She's driving around in her
car. Why did this woman, why didn't she show me some respect when I told her I had a $200,000?
With a $200,000
whatever
car.
I got.
Whatever you got. Don't you know what you've got?
I've got a Mercedes coupe, a $200,000 Mercedes coupe, and she looked at me like I had like I came out of the womb with a birth defect. She's right.
The girl was
she's right
for looking at this guy like he's some kind of idiot because he is.
No, she didn't look at me like I was an idiot. She looked at me like I could not. I'm going to be band of man with you. Like I couldn't sexually satisfy her.
See, that's what I mean. You got some hang-up, man. You got a real hang-up. Thank you for your call, sir. I
got to
take a break. Plus, I can't even hear. I can't hear him. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with more from Robert Greene and how important it is to talk to your employees about how wealthy you are so they feel secure working for a guy who's rich. That means they've got a job with the company. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. Now, let's put this into some perspective, Bob, because I don't know if you're explaining it as well as you might.
And that the people...
Hold on, I didn't hear you. Say it again.
What's that?
I didn't hear you.
I said, I've put it into good perspective. The people are misunderstanding me, and I think on purpose, people resent not having the kind of, to use the street term, the kind of cheese that I've got, and they resent that. And so the people I've been hearing from tonight, a lot of them are these street people, except this, well, the last gentleman claims he owned a business. He said that he had a fireworks stand.
No, he never said that. I don't know where you're getting that information.
All right, you know what? He sounded like he owned a fireworks stand.
All right, look, I want to get back to some calls. You say that in order for people to appreciate that you're the kind of guy that they can have confidence in, you're the kind of boss they can have confidence in, that you want to tell people how wealthy you are?
What?
Isn't that what you said?
No, I said I'm showing them the finer things in life, some of the things that I have, my car, my jewelry, etc.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Stacy. Go ahead, Stacy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. I've been listening to you, and I'm really, truly trying to understand you. But I'm seething, and I tell you why. I've worked for several different famous people, and I'm not going to name their names. But rather than, you know, telling me what they had or showing me what they had, they included me in what they had. And I think that if you include right. your employees, let me finish, please. If you include them, instead of bragging about what you have, they will have more respect for you and also do a better job for you because they will feel that they are a part of your operation. But when you look down on people or you start bragging about what you have, you alienate people and you belittle them.
I understand what you're saying, but I run a grocery store. I don't know what I'm going to include them. They have
well, maybe you can have some sort of incentive for them to want to do better. Maybe if they sell a certain amount or stock a certain amount, you can give them a bonus or something and include them in your operation rather than talking about your expensive car and your clothes. I mean, you have to understand the time. People are struggling.
Right.
It's not that people are jealous of you. They've got a job. Right,
You work for entertainers? You've worked for entertainers, right?
Right, I was in the entertainment industry.
All right, anyways, who'd you work for? Did you work for a hip-hop guy?
No, I didn't work for hip-hop. I didn't work for any hip-hop. I worked for major studios in the entertainment conglomerate.
Because I hear the hip hop guys really pay well. And
all right, well, knock off the hip hop.
You're trying to deviate from the point. And I'm going to you sound very insecure, and I think it was evil what you did to your employee. Maybe she's a spiritual person. Maybe material things don't even enter her world. She's struggling. She's trying to make a living. And you know what? Your shoes and your suit and all of that. I mean, if you're paying her $8 an hour or $6 an hour, your shoes and your suit and whatever in your car is not going to make her life any better. That's why I'm trying to
pay
you.
I've got a $1,000 pair of Edwin Dover shoes.
I tried
to get her to see that so she'd feel secure that she works for me. Instead, she snapped a carrot stick. She looked at my crotch.
You know, now she's looking at your crotch.
I think something's going on psychologically with you, and you think that people are jealous.
Why would you say that, ma'am?
You think that because I'm listening to you. You said you know, she looked at you and made you feel like you weren't endowed, and all these different things, these sexual things that don't have anything to do with the conversation.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
exactly. And you also said something.
Yeah,
you said something about her looking at you like you were a blind date?
No, I didn't. I said she looked at me
brother,
like...
What?
Yeah, exactly. And when a woman does that, after you tell her you got a $200,000 Mercedes to make her feel more secure, and she turns around and looks at you like you're the guy that's got to bring out some kind of a big... I shouldn't say this, but...
God.
You're missing the complete point. And that's what I'm trying to bring across to you. Your material things was not helping her. To hear you talk about the things that you had is not going to help her situation. And that's why she probably looked at you like that, because she's looking at you as this egotistical maniac who's probably not even paying her what she feels she's worth.
All right, look, I'm going to let Stacy go. Very good call, Stacy. Very good points. I appreciate it. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Bob, go ahead.
So you hang up on her, and I had a point that I wanted to make.
I got to move on to another call.
I said to the young lady, Sandy, that I would appreciate it if she would react the way the other women in the room reacted, because they all went, they all showed approbation and they were very impressed, and they, you know how women are. Oh. Except for this Sandy, who sits there and looks me up and down. I don't know. It's something about a woman looking me up and down.
There we go again, man. And you refuse that this is a personal thing. You refuse to consider.
It is not personal. It is male.
No, you refuse to consider that it is something personally psychological. 877-876-PHIL. We got about a minute left. Here is Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa. It's all yours.
I am totally appalled that you would fire an employee because the way she supposedly looked at you or didn't look at you with admiration, because you make so much money, you have so much money. Your employees don't work for you so that they can admire you. I am employees. I want them to respect me for me and for the job I do as an employer and set an example for them, not because I flaunt myself in front of them. And I do think that you have a major male issue going on. And if I were your employee that you fired, I would sue you for wrongful termination and sexual harassment.
She was immoral for looking at me like that.
No, she wasn't immoral. You're being immoral. You're totally immoral in this situation of firing somebody, putting her out on the street without a job because she wasn't impressed with the amount of money, the kind of car you drove.
Or the size of my...
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Worst case is a meltdown.
All the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me, their moms and their brothers and their sisters and their grandmas.
The NAACP does not support individuals failing a test.
It becomes a safety issue for the citizens of our community.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And of course, every night here, we bring you places other talk shows cannot bring you to. And right now we have live streaming video of our radio show every single night. We also split screen sometimes the news. We have a little NHK Japan going on. And we're keeping an eye on it in case anything happens right there. But you can certainly join us here at 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. Or online at philhendryshow.com, which is... our website, and we're very, very happy to bring to you whatever we can here from the world of the greater world of news. We are talking with Robert Green from Fraser Foods this evening, and we're discussing something having to do with wealth, the gaining of wealth, and more importantly, how one lives when one is wealthy. How does one know one's wealthy? This article, Bob, that we were talking about is an article having to do with wealthy people not feeling secure. You know.
Well, and it's true, Phil. A lot of us have money, and we have money in a relative sense. People may think that we have lots of money, but we don't, given the expenses we have or given the economy we're living in. More to the point, the economy that we're living in does not afford us that security. And in order for me to feel secure, I need to brandish, if you will, a little bit of the things that I've got in life. And so I show my employees my wealth. I show my business partners some of the things I have so they can be confident that I've got enough money in the bank where I can go out and drop $200,000 on a car. I can go out and drop $3,000 on a $4,000 on a suit, and I'm not really going to break a sweat. Now, I don't know why that brings up resentment in people, because we've heard a lot of talk about psychology here tonight.
Okay.
But let's talk about this psychology. Let's talk about the psychology of a guy who doesn't have what I got, and so he's going to get angry like the gentleman who had that business. I thought it was a fireworks stand.
That gentleman was a construction contractor. I don't know why you didn't get that.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
All right. Now, you knew I wanted to bring up this woman, Terry Sandoval.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
Okay, Terry Sandoval is another employee that you let go. She had a similar reaction to, in fact, she had a more negative reaction to something that you said. You didn't bring this woman up and didn't expect you to.
These are internal affairs with our company, Phil, and they're not things we want to necessarily discuss.
All right, but Ms. Sandoval was let go. She's got three kids, a husband who's a firefighter, disabled firefighter for Orange County. And apparently you fired her after she, you know, reacted negatively to you. Apparently she said that, we talked to her earlier, she didn't want to come on the air.
And that's very telling. She didn't want to come on the air. Please make a note of that. Please make a note of that.
She didn't want to come on the air. The woman was embarrassed for a number of factors. I don't know. Maybe she's thinking of suing you.
But make note, please, of the fact she didn't have the courage to come on the air and confront me.
All right. Apparently, you tell me what happened, okay? So we'll get it from your, we'll get your version,
I'd like to hear her version, if you don't mind.
No, you tell me, and I'll tell you what she said.
What happened was, I had talked to this, to my employees in a break room, and I said that I had I mentioned the Mercedes-Benz, I mentioned that I had, that I'd purchased recently a $375,000, let me get the, it's a Lexus LFA, it's the 2012, which I put an order in on. And I mentioned that to Terry, I said, because I noticed that she seemed to be impressed with the Mercedes, and I said that, now she was one of the women that was impressed, not like this Sandy, who I thought was very rude. Terry was impressed, so I said, and by the way, I got a $375,000 order. I got the order in on the 375 LFA. Not bad for, and I made a joke.
And you made a joke about Japan.
Mr. Hendry, would you allow me to say what it was that I did? Because it's a very sensitive area that she completely took out of context. I made a joke, and the joke was not bad for a country that's trying to bring back Godzilla. I did not mention Japan.
Brother.
Excuse me, sir. I did not mention Japan. I did not mention anything other than the Godzilla joke. That's when she gave me the same look the other one gave me. Now, you may not think that, you know, I don't know what you're angling at here.
Well, here's what I'm angling at. You made a joke about Japan? You know,
hold on. You're talking to the boss. I'm not the employee. Employees are the ones that you can talk to like that, and I don't talk to my employees that way. But you can't talk to me as if I've done something millions of people across America are doing today.
You're making a joke about Japan in the middle of one of the worst disasters any country has ever seen, and you're doing it after talking about the Lexus that you just put an order in on, and then you fire the woman.
I fired her because she morally, you don't understand what a morals clause is, do you?
Yes, I do. I happen to have one in my contract.
All right. A morals, you do?
Yeah. And there's nothing in there about me getting canned or having anybody terminate my deal because I'm not laughing at a Godzilla joke.
I did not mention Japan. I said, bring back Godzilla, and it was about the Lexus. That was what it was all about.
And what did Ms. Sandoval do?
Ms. Sandoval did what the other one did. She turned her back on me and continued microwaving some a dish that she brought in that, I'm telling you, it smelled horrible. It smelled like a cross between something that was rotten, like something in a diaper. That's what she was cooking in my break room.
877-876-PHIL is the number here with Robert Greene as we talk about him mentioning the things he has to his employees so they'll feel more comfortable and more secure. Rachel in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Green. I have two points that I would like to make. First of all, one is, you know, you'd mentioned about dropping money here and dropping money there, and I think that that's absolutely great. You've been blessed. But my question is, when is the last time you dropped on your knees and got on the hard, solid ground of salvation to rely on for your business?
Well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm glad you asked me that question. I go to church
every Sunday. It should be every day.
Well, maybe in your religion, but in mine, Sunday's enough.
Okay.
And I thank God for the things that I've done.
That's great.
I don't give God all the credit. I give God credit for allowing me to live so I can go out and do what I do.
Okay. That's fair.
Do you mind me asking what religion you are?
I don't want to say what religion I am. I don't think that's anyone's...
No, and it's not. That wasn't my point. My point was maybe Sandy was content.
It's a new Christian. It's kind of a new science of mind thing.
Okay, yeah, I've listened to you for a couple of hours now, and I'd really like you to listen to me if that's
possible.
Well,
you asked me a question. You asked me a question. I'm just telling
you. Know, maybe Sandy was content with what she has. Maybe she was already secure with what she had. And my other point is, you said that she was
secure, then why would she look at me like, I was an ugly...
Okay, I'm going
to
get to that.
Go on a blind date with.
I'm going to get to that. I got a question for you, though. She was eating carrots, correct?
I don't know. It was something out of a cellophane. It looked like a carrot or celery or something like that. Yeah.
And because she's your employee, you know where she lives, and you know what she, you know what her phone number is. You know how to get a hold of her in case of an emergency. You know what kind of clothes she wears. What it's sounding like to me, really, is that you were trying to make a move on a married woman, and she took that offensively because, to me, why else would you bring up a $200,000 vehicle? I mean, just the fact that you have a job is enough for security. And I think you got rid of her because you were trying to come on to her, and because she didn't like that and didn't take it the right way, you figured if you got rid of him, that, you know, if she got rid of you, then maybe... Maybe
okay.
You wouldn't.
All right.
You just can't shut up, can you?
I think it's a... I'm talking now. I'm the host of the show. Yeah.
You sound like me, Phil.
I don't think I do, but... Bob, what about that, man? What about the fact that you were probably, or at least in the mind of this young lady, and maybe in my own mind, you were hitting on this girl?
Well, that's really interesting, because I was talking to a room of about 7 women at the time, not focusing on any one in particular. So
okay,
I guess
blew
that one. What's your name, Rachel? I guess you blew that.
It's Rochelle.
A real good point.
I didn't blow anything.
You were making a real good point, and I just topped you on that.
Oh, well, let's grow up a little bit.
I really don't care if you topped me. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it and help you get to the bottom of it, that if maybe she felt like you were making a move on her, you know, why else would you fire somebody for looking at you like that?
Why would I make a move on a fat girl? She was kind of, I better not say.
A fat girl. Well, let me tell you, fat girls,
are you?
Honey, they have feelings, too, and they actually do have families,
that,
and they do attract other
am
men.
Am I supposed to come on to her?
Look at Bob. You already said that you, and yet there's another one you fired because you said you had a Japanese-made car, the Lexus, a $375,000 car.
I don't have a Japanese.
Are you telling other guys that?
All right.
Are you bragging to other men about your things?
I
or is it just women?
Because women are more material-minded. Women
no,
like
they're
things.
Not. No, they're not.
Yes,
I've got so much money, it's not
they...
crazy, and I don't want for anything. Because I'm content
got...
and I'm secure.
Do you have more money than, like, an average guy would, though? You may have a lot of money for a woman.
Yeah, I'm
what
the breadwinner in my home.
Well, it's both of your money. Are you married?
Yes.
Then legally, it's both of your monies.
You're right, it is. But
yeah,
I'm not materialistic. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether I've got a Mercedes or whether I've got a Honda or whether I've got a Pinto. You know, you see what I'm saying?
But you know that and if you were,
you are
stereotyping
everybody and not even looking in your own backyard.
If I said to you, let's go out this weekend, I've got a $375,000 Lexus, you'd be in my car before even sundown.
No, I wouldn't, because I don't date people that are like you.
You'd walk to my house.
No,
she wouldn't. Are you listening to her?
No.
Well, come on.
I could
come
never
on.
Live with somebody like that. You're pathetic.
I said live with me. I said go out on a date with me. You wouldn't wait for me to pick you up. You'd walk
to my
house.
Why would you
date
somebody that you don't plan on marrying? That's stupid.
How do I know I want to marry you unless I see how you react to my car?
Why would I care?
I want, if I'm going to.
It's a $375,000 Lexus that you would walk to my house to.
All right, we already heard that. It's Rachel. Rachel, thank you very much for the call. Rochelle, I'm sorry. Rochelle, thank you very much for the call. 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green on the line with us as we talk about money and what it means to be an employer with a lot of money. He flashes it around so his employees will feel more comfortable and secure and will know that their boss has money. And we just find out now that he's fired another woman because he made a joke about Godzilla. You know, folks, let me just tell you something. No Japanese jokes. I mean, and I'm a guy, you know, I enjoy a good joke as much as the next guy. And I enjoy, you know, all kinds of satire. Japanese jokes? Anybody telling Japanese jokes these days is a slob. I'm sorry. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, you can watch us doing our thing online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And that is the online home of our radio show. And we are also taking a look as we go through the evening at video from various sites having to do with the, you know, the tsunami and trying to keep you up to date on that. We're looking at CNN and Fox and some, and we also have the Japanese website, the Japanese network, NHK, that we do occasionally bring up online just so you guys can see what's up. But join us online at philhenryshow.com, especially if you are not within the vicinity of one of our great affiliates, and we've got a lot of good ones. But if you're, for whatever reason, not there, you can, as I say, access the videocast. 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green on the line with me from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. A multi-store chain and a successful chain, Bob, and I don't begrudge you that. I truly don't. I think what we're hearing tonight are from people who think your method of making your employees feel secure by saying, look how much money your boss has, and then firing them if they don't show any understanding or appreciation of that is what people are finding fault from.
Well, I was half waiting for you to say, what say you, like O'Reilly does, Phil, because it sounds like you've got pretty much one of those right-wing shows like he does.
No, I'm not. You know what? I'm conservative, but please don't compare me to somebody else.
All right, but you're comparing me to a sexual deviant because I looked at a woman. I told her that I have a $200,000 Mercedes and a $375,000 Lexus, and she looked at me as if I had a physical deformity having to do with you-know-what, and I'm not supposed to get mad about that.
I'm just telling you, people have said, and I agree, that sounds like something that one could only come up with in one's own mind. 877-876-PHIL. James in Tampa, Florida. Go ahead, James. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I've been listening to your comments about that. This guy here, he's, to me, his ego is way out there. I mean, it don't matter about how much money you've got. It's how you treat your employees. If you don't treat your employees right, your employees and pay them a right amount of money, I mean, minimum wages ain't nothing. They are the ones that pay your money.
They can feel secure that they work for a guy who can afford an LFA.
You talking about your $200 Mercedes, your $375,000 Lexus? That don't mean nothing.
That's right,
people. That don't mean nothing.
They're secure. They're secure with me.
Employees are looking for somebody who is going to secure them in their job. Money.
Why did you do that?
Because I just heard him hit his button.
What do you mean he hit his button?
You know, I just heard that guy's, yeah, you hit the button on your phone. I heard it. So why can't I?
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
he don't want to listen
to the real thing, you see. That's what it is.
I want to listen to the real thing, but you haven't said anything that tells me why it's bad for me to say I've got a Lexus to my female employees.
No employees don't want to hear that. They want to know what you want to do for them. They want to
know
what
I'm doing
for
them.
How's that doing something for them?
You're not going there telling them, you're not doing anything by telling them you got a $200,000 Mercedes.
Yes, I am. By saying that I've got a $375,000 Lexus. Let me ask you, sir. Can I ask you something?
Hey,
sir, I'll ask something. Sir.
I'm going to tell you something. That's like telling a pimp how to make a woman and break her down.
Here we go with the pimp again. I want to ask you.
Yeah, because that's what
I said to the lady. The Lexus comes from a country that's resurrecting Godzilla.
All right. Well, you guys aren't hearing each other, okay? You're talking over each other.
You are.
This guy doesn't want to listen to the truth. No, I'm not.
That's what you do, man.
No way. I'm saying to my employees, get a load of this $375,000 Lexus from the land that wants to resurrect Godzilla, and they want to turn me into the labor board.
Godzilla jokes at this particular time in the Japanese people are suffering is tasteless.
Tell me this, sir. How much you pay your employee? What is it? You pay them minimum wages, or good wages? You give them bonus? You give them a holiday
pay? Very well. I pay them $11 an hour. All right. And, okay. What else do you want to know?
I'm listening.
$11 an hour.
That's it.
Oh, listen to Vanderbilt, will you? Listen to how are you?
No paid insurance or nothing?
Well, the insurance thing, as you know, Obama's doing that. Didn't you hear?
Yeah, Obama's doing that. You're all right, I got to take a break, sir. Thank you very much. 877-876, Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
You don't know that Obama's doing that.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You may have free speech, Mr. Green. We're back with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. I understand you have free speech. You're absolutely right. You have free speech. I also have the freedom to think it's pretty tasteless, you know. And we're discussing Mr. Green making this joke about Godzilla in the break room of his business. Not only that, but you fired a woman.
I will tell you, Mr. Henry, that I feel that I have every right to say what I want in my own business. We can look at the Terry Sandoval case again. I think that she was very insulting when she turned her back on me and put something into the microwave in our break room that was let off a stench that frankly contaminated the entire employee lounge area and my office. That was how much of a stench it was. And
what are you talking about something she brought for lunch?
Yes, sir. She brought it in a Tupperware container. And, you know, we thought long and hard before we let Terry go. But cooking that after turning her back on me.
You said Godzilla and you made light of the situation in Japan. It was a very tasteless thing to do, regardless of the Lexus that you put in an order for.
Well, I was not aware that it was tasteless to exercise your freedom of speech.
Don't you understand? You understand, sir, that there's such a thing as sensitivity.
Of course I do.
All right, well, that is what we're talking about here. Gilbert Gottfried, who is the voice of Aflac, which is a major sponsor of so many television and radio shows, was fired after tweeting some things about Japan.
Well, that's a problem I don't have. I'm the boss. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so you have to, in my opinion, Watch what you say all the more. 877-876-PHIL. Here is David in Mobile, Alabama, on the Phil Hendry Show. David, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think that Mr. Green does not respect his employees whatsoever. Also, it sounded like in the break room it was a casual situation. It really wasn't a business meeting. That's why he was sitting there boasting about his wealth. He was making jokes about Godzilla. It seems like the atmosphere, he was trying to make it very relaxing and comfortable to the employees. If I was an employee, you know, if it was that kind of an atmosphere, why couldn't the employees microwave something? He was making light of subjects. Why couldn't they? Why did it offend him?
Because what that woman was microwaving, sir, smelled like human waste.
Sir. That's
the best I can say.
I want to ask a question, David. Do you think it's the time and the place to start making jokes about Godzilla and this and that, seeing what Japan's going through, and then firing a woman when she doesn't like the joke?
No, it wasn't right. I'm just trying to understand.
Yes, that's a loaded question.
Well, I'm just trying
to ask that question, Mr. Henry, because you know that the listener, he's going to be on your side, because you're the host. You're the talk show host.
And
so David wants to kiss up to you.
And let this man talk for himself. Go ahead, David.
Mr. Green, I'm showing you respect. I'm from the South.
Thank you.
I would respect some also. Mr. Green, before this meeting, was your employees told it was a business meeting, not lunchtime?
Were they told it was a business meeting, not lunchtime? They knew it was lunchtime.
It was lunchtime. It was a business
meeting. But it's also, when I walk into the room, everyone knows it's business. So, yes, it was lunch, but I walked in, and I walked in wearing a very nice suit, and everyone could see over my shoulder my car parked in the lot. That's the thing I didn't tell you. When you look past me, where I stand in the lunchroom, when you look past me, you can see my car in the lot. So there's a sort of an effect. And everyone knows, it's ever worked for me for any length of time, that when I show up, it's all business.
It's all business. Do they stop eating?
I'm just trying to understand. This was a lunch meeting.
It was a lunch. They were having lunch, and then it turned into a business meeting as soon as I showed up.
Sir, that's my whole point. If you respected your employees and they're on lunch, let's wait till the employees get done with their lunch and then call the meeting.
That's not what I do. And
that's not
I
what
do
you
it for a reason. No, I don't do that, because when I stand in the doorway and they can look over my shoulder and see my car in the parking lot, there's a kind of a cinematic effect
that says, lunch
is over, time for business.
But, Mr. Green, before you own this store...
You still here?
Yes, he's here.
What did you do for a living? When you was in high school, what did you do? Did you work?
My father supported... When I was in high school, my father supported us.
What? What did I do for a living?
Well, did you have a job? Did you have a job, another job, as a lot of teenagers did?
I had jobs, yeah. I worked for my father.
All right, I got to take another call, David. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think, you know, a lot of ways when you interrupt people, Mr. Green, you're making them a little nervous.
Well, I have a right to get my point out. And the gentleman asked the question, what did I do? How did I make a living when I was in high school? My father supported our family. What about yours?
Well, you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
When I was in high school, my father was long gone. My mother was supporting us.
Well, don't pretend like you're some guy, like you're in the Jacob Riis book, okay?
I'm just, till you asked me, and I'm telling you. 877-876-PHIL, going on to Tom in Bloomington, Illinois. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a
yes,
couple
sir.
Quick comments to make. There are people that would love to get on your show that have something really important to say. This businessman, if he really in fact is a businessman, is drinking the same Kool-Aid as Charlie Sheen right now. He is so out of touch. He is a total embarrassment. And I doubt if he thinks his car and his money is going to get him a girl. He probably doesn't have any men friends.
I'm not looking for a woman. I'm not trying to get a woman.
Your employees don't have money to buy gasoline. You just look stupid. The only thing I have to say is you, sir, I don't care where you live, what kind of car you drive, you sound so stupid. You are pathetic. Pathetic.
I think you're jealous.
Get off the phone and quit embarrassing yourself.
I
don't have much more to say.
I've got a $375,000 Lexus, and you don't.
Sir, I know many people that have money. They don't brag about
their
car.
You may know them, but you ain't one of them. And I tell that to my employees.
Especially now when times are
tough,
you don't tell your employees that you have a $300,000 car. They're worried about buying groceries. You sound so stupid, none of them are talking to you. And if they do, it's only because they have to and they need a job. You are stupid.
Well, you know, I don't know. I demand that you apologize. No one talks to me like that. Is the man there?
No,
Tom, you gone?
You can
Tom's,
fire
the
him.
Man,
go ahead.
Tell the man to apologize to me.
I'm not going to tell him to apologize to you.
Yeah, how many how many men pat you on the back and say, "Boy, you are really living right"? I doubt
a lot of them.
A lot of them.
Just about every other guy during the week will say, "Bob, you've got it figured out." But you, I demand you apologize to me.
He's not going to apologize.
Trying to explain to the public that you are so happy and good, feeling good about yourself, and you
look at
that stuff, and it doesn't make you feel good. It makes you think, boy, I spent a lot of money. That makes you feel, and you don't have any
I want
real
my employees to know that they're secure. That
you
their boss is smart enough to own
and
a legacy.
I'm working, so I'm going to get off the phone. You need to
evaluate yourself.
It could be an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment, mister. An embarrassment.
Sir,
it's
you
sad.
Are running away
it's
from
sad.
The truth about yourself that you can't
and
afford
don't, and you're not
All
a
right,
comedian,
Bob.
So don't tell jokes.
I'm not
anyway,
going to be a comedian.
Thanks for your time.
You didn't think
thanks
the guy
the
line was good. Tell me. Oh, he's hanging up. What a gutless.
No, he doesn't have to tell you. I can tell you, and anybody will tell you. Thank you, Tom, for your call. That was about as insensitive a thing to do. It's not classy. Anybody making Japanese jokes these days is a jackass, isn't funny, and people know them for what they are, lame and desperate.
You know something, Phil? You know, you're a radio host. You're a big deal. You can talk to me like that. You know that I can buy and sell you, right? You know that, right?
Bob. Hear it?
No, hold on. You know that I can buy and sell you. Tell me that you at least know that.
Yes, okay, I know that.
All right. So because you're a big-time radio star, you can say that I'm lame and desperate. Desperate for what?
Desperate for attention. Anybody that tells those kinds of jokes here in the middle of the suffering of those poor people, desperate for attention. Here is, I think it's Rob on Long Island. Hi, Rob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to ask this gentleman a question before I say anything. Just out of curiosity, sir, how many employees do you actually have?
Well, we have 14 stores, and you average about 30 to 40 employees a store. But overall corporate-wise, we've got 900 employees, including our stock business. We have our own trucks, so around 900.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing him. So how many did he say he had?
He said 900 employees, around 900.
Okay. So I want to clarify something, because according to him, he says his employees make $11 an hour. So
that means
that they're making approximately $22,000 a year. And he walks into a room to tell seven of them how he just bought a car that cost more than their collective salaries put together. I don't quite get why he sees this as being appropriate. To the whole Godzilla thing aside, we can discuss that because I can't imagine him walking in if he had bought a car made in Israel, would he be talking about, hey, that, you know, that's pretty great for a you know, state that's avoiding the ovens, you know, does that seem like an appropriate comment to you? Or if he had walked in and said, you know, this is the kind of car that gets, you know, the girl's juices flowing, does that seem like an appropriate comment? But yet he feels that he can attack a nationality based on what exactly?
I didn't attack a nationality, sir. I simply said to my employees, in order that they would know that their boss has enough money that they don't have to fear for their jobs. See, that was the whole point, that I have enough money that our company is doing that well that they'll never have to worry about their jobs unless, of course, they pulled what two of them pulled today. Which,
and I'm sure they felt—I'm sure they felt incredibly relieved to know that you could pay $375,000 for a car while they only make $11 an hour. I'm sure I'm not done speaking yet, sir. I'm sure that the prospect of you giving them a raise of even just 10% would have been much more comforting to them than the concept of you paying the, as I said before, collectively more than they, the seven people that you were speaking to, made in that year.
There are some things, sir, that are worth more than money.
I'm still not done speaking.
That your boss wears a nice suit.
Secondly, let's have a little discussion about how massively insecure you must be that you felt the need to address women about the size of your car and the size of the cost of the car. That seems to me like you're overcompensating.
Because that one woman looked at me like I had a small one, so that's why I didn't say I had the car because of that. But she looked me up and down like maybe women have looked at you on occasion. I don't know.
And it seems to me like a person who is more secure in themselves wouldn't have to walk in and brag about how they just had spent $500,000 on two cars. That seems to me
who I said $375,000 car. I mean, I don't know if you're married, but women would walk to my house to be.
Yeah, you already said that a woman will walk to your house to ride around in your car.
No, I did not. I said to that one woman,
Phil,
I did.
So he's making a neo-sexual reference.
I said that to prove the point that yes, it does, but that's not why I brought it up. I brought it up to make them feel better that I have a $375,000 Lexus.
The only point that you're proving is that what you're taking out of your business is massively outsized in comparison to what you're paying your employees. And secondly, the only other thing that you're proving is that you are so vastly insecure with yourself that you feel the need to brag about the material things that you have rather than your ability to be a good employee.
Well, I've allowed you to do all the talking, sir, and you haven't done very well with it because
by the way, if you don't like the previous caller, you don't like my comments.
Yeah.
By the way, if like the previous caller, if you don't like my comments, feel free to fire me. Or better yet, if you think you can, sue me. Because I'd love to see that go through court. And I would love to have somebody bring up
You've already said several things that are actionable, and I would sue you if I could get to you.
I'll ask Mr. Henry to put me... What's your last name?
What is your last name? You won't even tell me what your last name is. I'll tell you what, Mr. Henry, are you listening?
All right. We got to take a break. I appreciate... No, I'm not going to put him on hold.
That guy was...
Yeah. All right, so that was about as meaningless an exchange as I ever heard in my life. The two of those guys going back and forth. And Bob, you with that $375,000 Lexus, let me tell you something, brother. It's just, it's not getting it done. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots, in a moment, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour is our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-PHIL. And Robert Green here with us for our final segment as we talk about what bosses do and what employees do and, you know, how all of these things ultimately work. And, of course, in Bob's mind, having money as a boss is a big, big part of impressing your employees. We'll take a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Scott in Houston. Go ahead, Scott. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Bob. It's a pleasure to talk
Hi.
To you both.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Bob, are you familiar with Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart? Are you familiar with this story?
Sam Walton? No, I'm not. I don't really. No.
Sam Walton was the founder of Walmart. And even after he had made millions upon millions of dollars, he still drove around town in his beaten-up pickup truck and his work boots and jeans. Didn't feel the need to have to show everybody how much money he had, and yet he kept his employees very well motivated and grew his business into a billion-dollar empire. What do you think about that?
What about it? I don't understand what you're talking about. I've got an empire. I've got a business. I got employees. I got money.
Yeah, but Sam Walton.
I don't need any advice. I don't need any help. I don't need any Sam Walton or anybody else's help in running my business. I came on here to give advice to other people on how to run their business. You know what I mean?
Sam Walton has his employees'
Hello.
Respect. I won't interrupt you if you please won't interrupt me. All I'm saying
I don't
is
need any advice, though. You called up to give me advice. I don't need any.
He's not calling up to give you advice.
I'm not asking. I'm not offering
advice. I mean, I heard about Sam Walton when people did, I guess something happened. Did he sell his company or something? And I thought, okay, and now all I ever hear about is Sam Walton. So I have to be honest with you. I made myself a promise that I would never willingly listen to anybody talk about Sam Walton. Now I have to listen to you, see? So I've lied to myself. Go ahead.
Okay, so you lied to yourself. Go on, sir.
Well, I feel you're talking to me or to Bob?
I'm talking to you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. My point, Bob, is that Sam Walton
is about out of time, Phil.
Will you let me run the show and let this guy talk?
No, you're out of time. Yeah, there's the music. He's out of time.
Sam Walton. Excuse me?
Yeah, no, he's out of time. He's out of time, Scott. Mr. Hendry's out of time. Okay? So anyway, thanks a lot for really giving us a big phone call here to go out with. What a bore.
Well, if you let the guy finish.
Phil Hendry.
Boring.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I swear they're going through their whole families, just checking on everybody from...
The NAACP does not support.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, it's a wide hunk.
A little bit loose.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night till the aforementioned hour. So, you know, you split the difference. 877-87. I ain't kidding you, bud. I'm not pulling any punches anymore.
Well, I know what's wrong with it. I'm going to stay here till 3 a.m. if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, me too.
Good, good. That's good. That's a good start. 3 a.m.? That's too early. I don't want you guys leaving here till 6 a.m. How about that?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, look, he's going to ball.
Fixed.
Or the legions of people that are listening to the Phil Hendry Show will march right over top of you.
Come on, you have a heart.
I told you weeks ago about that. All right, welcome to our program here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We've got our video cast happening right now in HD, as well as feeding, every now and again, we're feeding some clips from NHK in Japan. We have the live streaming video of their news going right now. So far, it's kind of dull-ski, isn't it?
Yeah, it looked like they're just talking to a bunch of guys. I was trying to find if they had any pictures of the tsunami or something like that.
The tsunami. Look, man, I don't want you seeking out YouTube clips. I just want to know what's happening over there with that nuclear thing, man. So keep an eye on it. Anyway, welcome back to the program, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, when you're at our website, philhendryshow.com, go into the shop because we've got our best of CDs, 1997 through 2005. These are our legacy best of CDs that we produced originally, and they are in their packaging, and they are untouched and unsoiled by human hands. Check those out. We also have our legacy shot glasses, and coming soon, we'll have the Phil Hendry Show, I don't know what I'm going to call it, a latte cup.
I think that's gay. I think you should go with coffee.
Oh, do you think it's gay? Well, then I think I will call it a latte cup.
No, man, you can't do that.
Well, I think I might. I don't know. Anyway, we will have our coffee mug. So you can have that right there. I'll have it. You'll have it. We'll all have it. And, of course, our official Phil Hendry Show T-shirts available in our shop coming soon. UCLA outraged after student Alexandra Wallace slams Asians in racist video rant. Now, the Internet today has done two things. The Internet has, number one, made anything into a major news story. A guy farts. A mouse farts. A cat squats and dumps one. A cat kills a bird. It doesn't matter how mundane or how everyday, the Internet has made every story a big smash headline. We've told you about this. We've read stories. There was a story not too long ago, like about 2 weeks ago, some kid beat another kid up on a street in Georgia. Okay. Some kid beat another kid up on a street in Georgia, and that's like a national news story. A boy, I know what it was, the kid was in an outhouse, and the other kid pushed the outhouse over. That probably happened once a week for year after year after year back in the day when people were going to outhouses more often than they had indoor plumbing, and national news. But now because we are, you understand, folks, we keep track of everything. There isn't anything that happens now that is not recorded. There's a couple of reasons for that. We develop the need to record every small thing that we do because we think we're very special. We think we're really something else. And we're fascinated by ourselves and by others. And so now we record everything. We video everything. We tape record everything. We write everything down. We chronicle everything. There isn't anything that doesn't happen, and this will be the most chronicled generation in the history of the world. One thing historians will not be missing out on is life in America at the turn of the millennium, at the turn of the 21st century. Man, they'll get it all.
Yeah, they're going to have pretty much everything they need.
Yeah, except, well,
You know, he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
That's true. People are photographing their eliminations. All right, so that means that we're having a harder and harder time figuring out what's really important. Now, I know that there are some of us who feel they know exactly what's important. But after all, that's just a matter of opinion. I don't give a damn what it is. It is truly a matter of opinion as to what is important. That's why we always tell you the best rule of thumb is the following thing. News, or important news, is a bit of information that crosses the important and interesting. Sort of it intersects at those two places. It's important and it's interesting. How do we know it's important? That's subjective. How do we know it's interesting? That's also subjective. So you have to sort of go with general consensus. And there are those that find something important and interesting before anybody else, and it becomes important and interesting to everybody else after a while. For instance, Watergate.
Yeah, I was going to say Watergate.
Oh, were you really? No.
You were not.
Yes, I was.
All right, well, anyway, Watergate was important and interesting only to a handful of people. A couple of reporters here, a couple of gadflies there. Nobody gave a damn. But they began to report it. And then it became important and interesting to more and more and more people until finally, by God, it was bona fide news. But today, we're having a harder time because everything gets reported. Any moron with a video camera and the abject lack of humanity, lack of taste, and lack of intelligence to say, oh, pick up a dog and throw it off a cliff, can put that clip on YouTube and it becomes the craze. It's all over the world. It is, as we say, viral. And that doesn't say the people, you know, watching that video are bad people, because viral means a lot of things. Viral means people just watched a few seconds. People watched more than a few seconds and liked it. People watched more than a few seconds and didn't like it. People clicked on it and then left. It can mean a lot of things. Now, here's a woman by the name of Alexandra Wallace. If you look at the picture of her, she looks like an imbecile, big fat bitch. And she put up online a racist rant about Asians. Well, it went viral over the weekend. In a nearly three-minute video, the student, identified as Alexandra Wallace, vents about the hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school. Like this fat tub of guts has some ownership in the school. Alexandra Wallace. She trashes students that she trashes as spoiled, rude, and unintelligible. In one searing moment, Wallace mimics an Asian student answering a cell phone in the school's library by saying, oh, ching chong ling long ling long. Now, that's some high comedy, right? Well, it probably is high comedy to people that stand around in kitchens at parties and crack themselves up. But, all right, here is some of this. Now, you decide. Maybe there'll be a lot of people that think it's funny.
I thought a little bit it was.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, man, that you'd think a little bit of it was.
Well, what's wrong with that? It means you're an idiot, man.
No, maybe, you know, let's listen. Here is Alexandra Wallace. In her YouTube rant, she mocks Asians who use their cell phones while in the library.
In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library. Every 5 minutes, I will be, okay, not 5 minutes, say like 15 minutes. I'll be like deep into my studying, into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff, getting it all down, like typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to like reach an epiphany, over here from somewhere, oh, ching chong ling long ting tong. Oh.
I mean, I don't know, man. I know how that's funny to people who don't know what funny is. It's funny. It's a kid funny, you know.
What do you mean?
It's kind of, it would be, it's a kid funny. It's little kid funny. Ching chong tong tong. That's little kids laugh at that. It ain't really funny. Here is Wallace complaining that Asians at UCLA aren't polite.
These
By the way, unlike her, she's probably just, I mean, the epitome of daintiness and debutante style.
These hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine. But if you're going to come to UCLA,
which is fine,
then use American manners.
Oh, use American manners. You mean the kind that you use? What are American manners? Boy, that's a hot one. Wallace continues her rant on Asians who use cell phones in the library.
I swear they're going through their whole families just checking.
What happened to American manners? She couldn't think of any, so she's back on cell phones in the library.
I swear they're going through their whole families just checking on everybody from the tsunami thing. I mean, I know, okay, that sounds horrible. Like, I feel bad for all people affected by the tsunami.
No, you don't.
But if you're going to go call your address book, like, you might as well go outside, because if something is wrong, you might really freak out if you're in the library and everybody's quiet. Like, you seriously should go outside if you're going to do that.
Okay. Finally, Wallace is annoyed that Asians at UCLA aren't able to live without the help of their relatives. Like, I'm sure you're living on your own. Is that it, Alexandra? Other than the, well, never mind.
All the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me, their moms and their brothers and their sisters and their grandmas and their grandpas and their cousins and everybody that they know that they brought along from Asia with them,
yeah,
comes here on the weekends to do their laundry, buy their groceries, and cook their food for the week.
Uh-huh.
It's seriously without fail. You will always see old Asian people running around this apartment complex every weekend. That's what they do. They don't teach their kids to fend for themselves.
All right, so who knows anything about this fat, anyway? And I'm making fun of her being fat because that was the first thing I know. You know, people who live in glass houses, she looks like an idiot, and I'm fat, so I get to call anybody I want fat because I take that kind of heat all the time. And therefore...
Right. I felt this thrill going up my leg.
This broad. So this went viral because, as you know, that's just hysterical stuff. No. That's the other thing about the internet. It has made the most mundane garbage like, wow, is that funny. Oh, man. You know, that dude with his... I understand. It's. I know that stupid is the new cool. I get it, you know. But I ain't never, ever, as long as I live, until I molder in my grave, will I ever laugh at that crap. Although we did write a few Godzilla jokes, you know, but we'll later on. All right, number on the Phil Hendry Show, when we take phone calls... 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We have some other examples of good taste when it comes to Asian people when we come back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, on to number two here. WNBA guard Cappy Pondexter, sorry for insensitive tweets about Japan. We also have Gilbert Gottfried, who is, personally, I never thought the guy was funny. He's irritating as hell with that whole screechy thing.
Hey, the guy's a riot. Are you kidding me?
Nah, that's fine. That's probably good for you.
I don't. Yeah, well, you don't know it's funny. All right, well, you don't know it's funny.
Well, whatever. I mean, you think he's funny, bud, that's fine. I've never personally thought the guy was funny with the screaming and the yelling and whatever. And the guy, I know, you know, he's irreverent. Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, let's start out with the WNBA. Cappy Pondexter. New York Liberty guard of the WNBA has apologized after causing an internet uproar with comments on her Twitter account that were deemed insensitive toward victims of the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. I got a question from somebody on Twitter the last couple of days. I said, Phil, what do you think about karma and Japan? I said, what do you mean? Because I know what karma is. A lot of people use the word karma. They don't know what the hell it is.
What is it?
Karma is cause and effect. Cause and effect. A cause, for every cause, there's an effect. For every effect, there's a cause. If you want to know what the cause is, study the effect. If you want to know what the effect will be, study the cause. That is the Buddhist philosophy on karma in a nutshell. Cause and effect. So I'm supposed to get on board with this conversation about Japan, you know, leveling some karma with this thing. Well, number one, the Japanese people that are alive today were not alive during World War II. I guess that's what some people are referring to.
Yeah, but I mean, they may have been talking about, like, spiritually, you know.
Oh, spiritually. Spiritually. You mean, like, Mother Nature?
Well, what are you making fun of it for?
You know, this is a really interesting world we live in, man. On the one hand, people don't dig religion, or maybe it's they just don't dig Christianity. That's what that's about. On the other hand, I'm supposed to get on board with all kinds of religious new think. What are you talking about spiritually? If you want to talk about karma... then karma would be the actions of an individual revisiting them in another form at some later date. If you want to talk about karma having to do with the present generation of Japanese, well, then you're going to have to talk about reincarnation. That's what we're talking about.
Why?
Why would these people now suffer because of something their ancestors did? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, maybe there's something about karma, what that works.
Hey, Jack, what do you mean there's something about karma? I mean, if you want to believe in reincarnation, where you are reborn and as another kind of a human being, and you're still working your life out, it just so happens all these cats are reincarnated Japanese from World War II or whenever the Japanese did all kinds of bad stuff, I suppose you can have that discussion. I'm not going to go down that road. Let me tell you what's going on in Japan instead of karma. It's something that's far more practical, and it ain't got nothing to do with God, and it ain't got nothing to do with the pagan Mother Nature. Let me tell you what's happening. The Japanese people are the descendants of a race of people that found their way from Africa all the way across the Asian continent and decided to settle in what we call the Far East, if you will, or the, you know, Pacific Rim of China, of Korea, of Japan. And there might have been a land bridge at one time between Japan and the rest of the continent of Asia, but that's where those people settled. They had wandered enough. They found something there that they liked. Look at all the mountains. Look at the lakes. There's all kinds of game. Remember, we were hunters and gatherers at one time before we were farmers. And so settle there they did. And they made it their own. Well, the luck of the draw in geography has nothing to do with whether you are superior or inferior. It just simply has to do with, wow, here's where I am. And you can say that one group of people were smarter because they landed here as opposed to there. And those arguments can be made, but they have nothing to do with intelligence. Have nothing to do with intelligence. It simply has to do with a hunter-gatherer people following the herds and winding up places. And they happen to wind up in a place where there's lots of earthquakes and volcanoes.
Yeah, but why didn't they leave if they seen that that's what it's going to be?
Well, we're talking about thousands and thousands of years of living in a place, bud. And the fact is, people don't leave places they've been thousands and thousands of years. People find a way to adapt. What did we learn when we were kids? Well, probably you didn't learn it because you weren't paying attention. One of the things we learned about human beings is that we are one of the most adaptable creatures on Earth. We're very adaptable. Humans live everywhere. We live in the snow. We live in the sun. We live in the heat. We live in the cold. We live in the rain. We live where it's dry. We live everywhere. There's not an animal on Earth like us, other than the insect, that can live just about anywhere. And we make those places our homes. And we stay there. The Japanese are living on an island that's very populous because there are a great number of resources there. Not enough to please the Japanese, at least during World War II. They wanted to go out and get rubber and oil. But the island of Japan has been a very sufficient island for the Japanese people for many, many centuries. But it also happens to be a place where there's badass earthquakes. Same thing in China, same thing in Iran, same thing in the United States. That's what's going on. And geography has got nothing to do with intelligence. Geography has to do with just where did your ancestors wind up? You might say that my European ancestors were really smart. They wound up in Europe where there was all kinds of stuff and there were so many resources and so rich of land that we developed bureaucracies and we developed armies and we developed religions and we developed nations long before a great many other nations did or peoples did. But it also created a lot of disease. It also created a dependence upon arms as opposed to a dependence upon our gray matter. It forced us out into the world, and it forced us to conduct ourselves in ways that ultimately were very self-destructive, as well as destructive of other people. So everything has its drawback, and everything has its everything can have its negative side. So Japan is where Japan is. The people are where they are. It's got nothing to do with karma. It's bad luck, or if you will, it's good luck, because we'll talk about that on the other side. What are the Japanese going to develop out of this situation? World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on this spot. It's a Monday. What are you going to do? You know, Monday. Mondays are rough, baby. I don't care. You know, people always talk about them being rough. And for some people, they jump right into money. Great, man. Not me.
Yeah, you all. It ain't like you don't do anything. Yeah. What do you do on a weekend?
I don't do a thing. You guys are right. I don't even drink. I mean, I watch a lot of TV. I do a lot of reading. I love to drive. I love to go out down to the beach, obviously. And because I'm on that caveman diet, all I'm doing is eating steaks. I barbecued a couple of tri-tips.
Yeah, those are good.
I know how to do tri-tip. But if it was back before I was, like, on the diet, man, I'd be eating and reading and watching TV. I mean, that's how I relax, man. And every now and again, I'll pop back the tequila, but been a long time, dude, for that. I mean, the last time I had tequila, we did tequila shooters on the video cast right after one of the Saturday night KFI shows, didn't we?
Yeah, you did, man. You almost put away a whole bottle of tequila.
Well, you put away a whole bottle. But anyway, yeah, Mondays can be very, very sticky, but we're back at it. And plus, this has been just a very traumatic period of time for anybody. Looking at those images coming out of Japan, and we've been, as I mentioned, we've been going back and forth on our video cast showing people just images from news conferences that are happening in Japan on NHK. Every now and again, you may see some replay of one of the effects of the tsunami, but the Japanese television network is not playing any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for that one explosion we're talking about.
Well, there was one explosion. There was one explosion that I did see that was huge, man. I thought it was going to be like it. Did you see that thing, Bud?
Yeah, it looked like a mushroom cloud. I mean, I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was too. It started going up in the air, and I went, "Oh my God, not another mushroom cloud!" I mean, are you telling me this is like the real deal hydrogen explosion thing? And it was enormous, and the plume of smoke and the plume of exploding debris did go up and kind of flatten the way a mushroom cloud might. And thank God, you know, it wasn't the real. I mean, who knows? Now, while the Japanese people are having to deal with this, and I mean they've had to deal with a lot, and we said it at the beginning of the show, they've had to deal with this tsunami. They've had to deal with trying to find people that are still alive. They've had to deal with trying to find all of the bodies of people that have died. They've had to deal with trying to get all of that equipment onto roads and onto railroads and other modes of transportation or throughways that are now not, you know, functional. The infrastructure of the country, that part of the country, I should say, the northeast of Japan, is completely down. They've now got to deal with the nuclear reactor situation, not with one, not with two, but with three. This prime minister, Prime Minister Nan, I've got nothing but the greatest of respect for this guy. This poor man better lay down and take a long nap after this whole thing's over with.
What about that one guy, man, that's speaking on behalf of him, too?
Well, there's that man there that is the prime minister's. I mean, does the man sleep?
Probably not.
I bet you that poor guy, these guys haven't slept a wink. So this is the horror that the Japanese people are living. And in the middle of all of this over here in the United States of America, we've got people who believe, because they have free speech, that they can squat and dump anywhere they want. We have people here in America because the United States, and I was talking this morning, we did the table read for Napoleon Bonaparte. I was talking, or Napoleon Dynamite Bonaparte. And I was talking.
Napoleon McCallum.
That's right, Napoleon McCallum. No, it was Napoleon Dynamite. And I was talking to one of the actors, and he said, he was talking to me about his kids. And he said, they're very young, so I don't want them to see these larger, horrifying events, but I do want them to be aware of what's happening. And that the country of Japan is dealing with it. He said, I like for my kids to be aware that there are things called countries and that there are people in them that work together. And I said, well, that's a very impressive thing because, you know, we live in a country where we emphasize individualism. And there's a strong emphasis on individualism in this country to our detriment sometimes. Yeah, sure, we're individuals. I got it. And I'm glad that we are, and I'm so happy that we are. But every now and again, you got to act like a country, a people, a community. You know. So, having said that, even though we have all these rights to free speech, and aren't we just marvelous the way we exercise them? Oh boy, you know, we really. Gilbert Gottfried and this other fat slob over there at UCLA, and all these other people. The fact is, there's a time and a place. I will always believe that. I don't give a damn what other people think. I will always believe that. And I'll always conduct myself that way. Gilbert Gottfried went on Twitter with a few Japanese-style, you know, slamming the Japanese or making fun of the Japanese And then when he got canned, he didn't apologize, and he had some of his fans on Twitter, and I heard from one of them, one guy saying, boy, that's why I like Gilbert, man. He always says what he thinks. Well, that's good, but please don't act shocked when you get fired from a gig, man. Gottfried, here is an example of what he tweeted. Japan is really advanced. They don't go to the beach. The beach comes to them. Now, I know there's people laughing right now. Don't tell me that there aren't. And that's fine. Because we're not talking about whether you should laugh. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the public expression of these things to gain laughter and entertainment. That's what I'm talking about. I don't give a damn if there's people out there that'll laugh at it. If you show a little bit of kindness and a little bit of sensitivity, you show that you're a civilized human being and you've got a view of the world bigger than yourself. If it's all about us all the time, morning, noon, and night, and it doesn't matter what has happened, it's always about us, me, well, then we go around and we're just squatting and crapping wherever we want. But when you act like that, you also are going to be surprised when somebody decides they want to kick you in the ass and tell you to stop doing it. You can't be surprised. If you're going to conduct yourself that way, then understand there's consequences. So Gottfried, I'm going to have to believe, if he's a smart guy, he knew there would be consequences. Or did he? He also posted this. I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute now. I know people are laughing. But like I said, it isn't whether they're funny or not. It was the public expression of this stuff that was supposed to gain him fans. Well, it might have, but he lost a job. Another Japan called me. They said maybe those jokes are a hit in the U.S., but over here they're all sinking. So Aflac's chief marketing officer, Michael Zuna, said in a statement, Gilbert's recent comments about the crisis in Japan were lacking in humor and certainly do not represent the thoughts and feelings of anyone at Aflac. He said in a statement, Aflac Japan, and by extension, Japan itself, is part of the Aflac family, and there's no place for anything but compassion and concern during these difficult times. It's a Columbus, Georgia-based company. They said they will start a nationwide casting call to find a new voice for the Aflac duck.
Are you kidding me? You got fired from his duck job?
You got fired from your duck job, Gilbert. He was not the voice of the Aflac duck in Japan, which I'm sure, you know, made a big, big difference. The people in Japan saying, at least it ain't that Gottfried jackball. We got our own duck. Aflac does 75% of its business in Japan and also plans to donate $100 million to disaster relief. Gottfried has yet to apologize for the jokes, but he did post the following. Been reading your tweets? More than a few of you have said, F them if they can't take a joke. Yep, those are true Gilbert Gottfried fans. I don't believe that he really believes that. I think that that's what you say when you got nothing else to say, but you don't want to look like you're caving. So you say that, you know. All right. Sometimes you only hope that a guy like that, you know, goes through something bad. But I'm sure he's a good guy. Maybe. I don't know. So Gilbert Gottfried doesn't have his duck job anymore.
Yeah, but I saw that you went on, man, and said that he laid an egg.
Yeah, I said he laid an egg.
That's right.
Yeah, I said that's not making fun of the people in Japan. I said he laid an egg.
Yeah, well, that's making the duck joke, though.
So what?
Well, and then another one you said was, he's quacking up.
Yeah, I said Gottfried's quacking up and that he laid an egg. Wait a second. Are you guys going to try to tell me that's tasteless?
I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds tasteless to me, like you making fun of Japan.
I wasn't making fun of Japan, and you know I wasn't. I was making fun of him using eggs and ducks.
What's the point, saying he's quacking up? And another thing, you said you hoped his agent ducked.
Look it, man, if you're going to go on Twitter, you might as well write something worth reading. So I decided I'd throw in duck and egg and quack. Did I put an egg?
Yeah, you said I laid an egg.
Yeah, that's right. Don't give me this bull crap, man. I didn't say nothing that was that bad.
I don't know, man. I'm going to go back and listen to it again.
Listen to what? I tweeted it.
I mean, read it.
Hundreds of bodies have washed ashore in quake hit Japan. Hundreds of these bodies have been discovered by police and by rescue workers and by other people doing recovery as well as search and rescue. Compounding this disaster, water levels dropped precipitously inside a Japanese nuclear reactor, twice leaving the uranium fuel rods completely exposed and raising the threat of a meltdown hours after a hydrogen explosion tore through the building housing a different reactor. On the economic front, Japan's stock market plunged over the likelihood of huge losses by Japanese industries, including big names such as Toyota and Honda. You know, the good news on that is, man, I'd go out and I'd buy Honda and Toyota. Are you kidding? It's not going to keep them down. And I'd go out and I'd buy some of that Tokyo Electric, too. That's the one that went to the floor, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, people don't want to buy that, man, because them nuclear reactors.
Well, it may be the nuclear reactors, but let me ask you a question. If Tokyo Electric ain't in business, who else? Somebody else going to run out and buy and build themselves a nuclear reactor? All of a sudden they're going to have competition because they couldn't keep the nuclear reactor online during an earthquake and a tsunami? Here comes Tokyo Super Electric, man. That's the company to buy stock in. Are you nuts?
So you'd buy stock, huh?
Yes, I would. I'd buy into all of those companies I just mentioned. Tokyo Electric, Toyota, and Honda. I'd buy stock in all of them. You got to be kidding me.
Well, I mean, but nobody knows they're going to come back.
What do you mean, come back, man? Why wouldn't Toyota and Honda come back? Why wouldn't Tokyo Electric come back?
Yeah, but those are people who know more about it than us.
No, they don't. That's the whole thing, man. The stock market is driven by emotion. It's driven by panic. The stupidest things, the dumbest rumors, the silliest stuff will make the stock market go through the roof or hit the floor. There's no logic. There's no intelligence. Yeah, sure, they're reacting to jobs this and consumer confidence that. And, oh, this company here reported something, and this company over here reported something else. And everybody runs off and panics about this stuff. When I heard that thing about Tokyo Electric or whatever the hell that company's called, oh, boy, they're going through the floor, man, because their nuclear reactor's offline. I'm thinking, okay, so their nuclear reactor's offline. So they're going through the floor. Somebody wants to invest in them. Are you trying to tell me another company's going to come along and take their place?
Well, I mean, you think they'll ever have a nuclear reactor again?
Are you not? Look, we're talking about the Japanese here. These people know how to do things, man. They have learned ever since World War II, when the whole world basically said to them, no, you don't get to go and have all that stuff. You're going to have to figure it all out there on those little islands that you live on. Go ahead. Have fun. Have a nice day. And they did. Science, trade, commerce. The Japanese went out and conquered in ways that they'd never tried before. They did it in the world of business. They did it in the world of science. They did it in real estate. They didn't need a bunch of goose-stepping militarists. They didn't need Tojo. They didn't need all that bonsai stuff. They saw the future. America had opened their eyes to it. That's the irony. And the future was business. Or like the man said, we're all one big happy corporation.
That sounds very easy, but I don't know.
You're still on that karma kick, aren't you? All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at Phil Hendry Show. And we are online, philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and our final segment. What a night it's been. An interesting night, as Robert Greene took us through 2 hours. What do you think of that guy?
That guy's a douchebag. What do you mean, what I think of him? Telling people about how his Lexus and everything.
Yeah, but I thought it was impressive that he had the Lexus and everything, but I also think it's bad that he did what he did.
Well, so you think it's bad that he's lording it over people?
Yeah, but I'm not all that. You think a man impressive about that?
About what?
About having a Lexus?
Who do you know got a car like that?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying go in and tell his employee.
Well, I agree with Robert. I mean, the guy's going to walk in, hey, I've got a $375,000 Lexus, so be happy you work for me.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that.
But you just think the car was bitching.
Yeah, I'd want to see it and everything.
It's a lot of bread for a car, I'll tell you that much. That's I don't know how much a Rolls-Royce costs, but that's right up there in Rolls-Royce country. So anyway, thank you, Mr. Green, for being with us. I think, I don't know. Anyway, parents upset, or listen to this, parents upset over Florida teacher's sexual tension quiz. Now, what the hell? A quiz meant to teach high school students how innocent notions can become sexually charged as a person matures has landed a longtime William T. Dwyer high school teacher in hot water. You know, I really hate to read about any teacher that has a good idea and she's pilloried by a bunch of rabid parents who are, you know, took about 3 seconds to try to think this thing over, and they're led by a self-anointed, you know, like Frederick March in Inherit the Wind, you know, sort of a, what was the character, Brady? God didn't mean that we do this thing, we have to do it, you know. Anyway, we do feel it was over the top, said Dwyer Principal Joseph Lee of the quiz given Monday by Frank Rozanski to his advanced placement psychology class. Rozanski was disciplined, but was still in the classroom teaching this week. Rozanski wrote 10 questions on the whiteboard. And I guess they have whiteboards now.
Yeah, they'll kind of wipe them off.
The class, which has students ranging in age from 16 to 18, was working on a lesson about social psychology and perceptions. The questions could either be answered with something non-sexual like bubblegum or could be taken as a sexual innuendo. The point of the question was to show students how wording that a third grader would find innocent an adult might assign a sexual connotation to. That's pretty interesting. Lee said there were about 30 students in the class and the parents of a few of those students complained. After school, officials investigated. They determined that the questions were inappropriate. Were there sexual innuendos? Yes, Lee said, but it wasn't a sexual test. Students, parents, and the media have been referring to it as the sexual tension quiz. Anyway, here's some sample questions. Note it says, I'm spread before... Okay, I can dig that this is like for high school students, it sucks. Yeah.
Well, read them, man.
I don't want to read them because somebody's going to dump... Can I read them?
Go ahead, man.
You don't think so? All right, I'll read the answers. I won't read the questions. The answer to the first one was, no, well, what good is that going to do? The answer to the first one is nose. The second one, peanut butter. The third one, crane. And the fourth one, Titanic. But, you know, the questions are pretty rude, man.
Well, maybe I'm like a high school student.
What are you talking about? They didn't say anything in there that's dirty. It's all in your mind.
Yeah, well, maybe it is in my mind, man. But you know what? It's in a lot of people's minds. And the other thing is, these are high school students. If this is college, I got a whole other... It's fine. This is high school, high school, high school!
You know what's going on about that, though?
Yes! Kids in high school are under the age of 18. They're kids. God! Do we really have people out there? I mean, seriously, do we really have parents out there that don't get that? That don't understand that? Underage. You may think your kid is entitled to this, that, or something else, but I got news for you. You know it. I know it. If your kid screws up, wraps a car around a tree, and kills about 50 other people in the process, your ass is sued, not his. You are the one that gets taken down, not him. Pardon the sexual innuendo in that last response. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show marches into the future with you, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Rick Johnson, Dan Northcraft, and, of course, Jason Rance. Good night and good luck from all of us here at the El Pacifico. Oh, and our affiliate spotlight tonight, we're going to do at the end of the show because we totally spaced on it. WKRS 1220 Chicago and KVRC 1240 Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
Yeah!
Phil Hendry.